Bible Expositors Podcast, taking you week by week on the most exciting adventure of life, a journey through the Word of God. And now your host.
Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast. My name is Stephen Baker, and I'm your host for our journey through the Bible. And for the next several months, we're going to be studying the book of Romans. And we're continuing in Romans chapter 1. This is verses 8 through 13, and we'll begin with verse 8. The Apostle Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So Paul begins by saying, "I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all." Paul was very grateful for this church at Rome and for these people in the church at Rome. And the thing that he was particularly grateful for and that he was thanking God for is their testimony. He said, "Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, the expression "throughout the whole world," that is the world of the Roman Empire. The faith of the church at Rome was spoken of throughout the whole Roman world. A.T. Robertson writes about this in his classic work, Word Pictures in the New Testament, and this is what he says. "Throughout all the world, natural hyperbole, as in Colossians 1:6 and Acts 17:6. So A.T. Robertson says this is natural hyperbole, but he says that they were widely known because the church was in the central city of the empire. So there were constantly people coming to Rome. It was the capital of the Roman Empire. You've heard the expression, "All roads lead to Rome." They had an elaborate road system. And as people traveled to Rome to trade or for political reasons or to see family, some would encounter the church at Rome. And when they did encounter the church at Rome, they would carry stories of the faith of this church back to their provinces. And so the message of this church, the faith of this church, spread throughout the whole Roman world. And so Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And that raises an interesting question for us to think about. Is our faith spoken of throughout the whole world? Is your church's faith spoken of throughout the whole world? You say, "Well, that's not possible today. We're just in a little town, or we're just in a small city. We're not in a central city. People don't come in and out of our city all the time." Well, listen, we live in a day of mass communication. You're listening to this message, to this podcast on the internet. And you can use the internet. We broadcast on Sermon Audio. Do you know that Sermon Audio reaches all across the world, literally? And you can do a broadcast on Sermon Audio for your church, and you can reach the world. You can reach the world through putting up a blog, through using Facebook, through making use of the internet. One surefire way to reach the world and to have your church's faith spoken of throughout the whole world is to get involved in world missions. World missions. When you start supporting missionaries that are going to different foreign countries, supporting missionaries in India, supporting missionaries in China, when you support missionaries around the world, you are spreading the faith of your church. Because we give through a system called Faith Promise Missions. So when our church gives, we are spreading the faith of our church throughout the whole world. And another thing is, we should be sending missionaries out of our churches. Who's going out of your church to serve God? How many missionaries have gone out of your church? Who's surrendering to missions? Who's surrendering to preach? Who's going out of your church to do service for God? So, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, in verse 9, Paul continues, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." So Paul says, God is my witness. This is absolutely true. Whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Whom I serve. The word "serve" means to do religious service. It is translated from a Greek word that is used in the New Testament to designate sacred service. And so Paul says, whom I serve, to whom I do my sacred service. And he says, whom I serve with my spirit. The spirit is the part of man that communes with God. Of course, you can serve God with your body as well. But it's interesting the way he phrases this because the Word of God says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. The preaching of the gospel is spiritual work. And he says, this is the way I serve, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. So prayer is a spiritual work more than a physical work. In fact, you know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. So when we pray without ceasing, that's something that has to come from our inmost being. We have to have a constant heart cry to God. And so Paul is talking about a spiritual work in serving in the gospel of his Son, of God's Son, and without ceasing making mention of them always in his prayer. But I think that Paul is also saying, when he talks about whom I serve with my spirit, I believe he's also saying, I serve him from my inmost being. I serve God with everything that I've got. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And it's unfortunate, but in the ministry, some men are frankly just intellectually lazy. You know, there's different kinds of people, and some people are really industrious when it comes to doing things, visiting, soul winning, working, mowing the church grass, fixing the bathroom when the bathroom messes up. There are men that are industrious in doing things like that. And then there are men in the ministry that are really industrious about study. And I will tell you that the more important of those two things, of course, if you're a small church, the pastor has to do things that a pastor wouldn't do in a larger church. But the most important thing that a pastor can do, and the primary duty of a pastor, is, according to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostles said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, Paul worked. He worked a job. He made tents. But Paul stated very clearly that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And Paul stated very clearly that he did not have to work, he chose to work. And the thing we need to understand is that if we're called into the ministry, it is our duty to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The apostles were trying to do that, and they were getting bogged down because they were having to minister to the widows. And there was contention between different groups of widows. And so that's when the deacons were appointed. The apostles told the church, hey, let's pick out some men. Let's get some deacons to help with this kind of stuff, because it's not right for us to leave the Word of God to go serve tables. And so they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so if you're in a church and other people can mow the grass, my brother, let somebody else mow the grass and you study and pray. If other people can fix the toilet, let somebody else fix the toilet and you study and pray. If somebody else can fix the lights when the lights go out, can replace the light bulb, let them do that, and you study and pray. It is not the pastor's job to be a church maintenance man. That's not the pastor's job. It is the pastor's job to study and to pray. And if we would give ourselves to the ministry of the word, we would have better sermons. When you don't study, you can just pull something out, pull out an old classic like movies, mixed swimming, and makeup or something. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to preach the word, if you want to really preach the word, you've got to study the word. You've got to dig into the word. You've got to pray. And you'd be amazed at how much more powerful the message will be when we just preach the Word of God and explain the Word of God rather than riding a hobby horse. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Before we leave this verse, I want to share something that I learned years ago in Bible college. Dr. Clarence Sexton told us this, and it stuck with me. Because Paul says here, without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul was very certain, that without ceasing, every time he prayed, he made mention of the Romans. Now, that can be hard for us to do. We have all kinds of people asking us to pray for them. When I go to the jail, all kinds of men ask me to pray for them. And it's very easy to forget. And of course, as a minister of the gospel, you can't say, no, I'm not going to pray for you. You have to say, well, sure, brother, I'll pray for you. You have to say it. But it's so easy for us to forget. And then when people say, did you pray for me? You usually end up lying. Yeah, sure, I prayed for you. You pray right then. But the truth of the matter is, and this was Clarence Sexton's advice. I think it's wonderful, and I use this. When somebody says, will you pray for me? You say, yes, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. And you bow your head with them, and you pray with them right then and there. And that way, you have prayed for them. If you don't remember to pray for them again, you have prayed for them. You've done what you said you would do. I'll never forget, I'd ask a friend to pray for me about something. And he said he would. And I talked to him later on and said, you know, thank you for praying about that. And he didn't say anything. Well, he was trying not to lie, but the truth of the matter is, he hadn't prayed for me. He forgot about it. Well, everybody forgets. We all forget. So just pray right then and there. So Paul says, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 10, making requests, this is what Paul was praying for, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. God had not allowed Paul to come to Rome. Paul wanted to come to Rome, but he couldn't. And Paul did eventually go to Rome. He had a lot of trouble along the way, but God did make his journey prosperous. And it's very important. Maybe God's put on your heart to do something, and you've tried to do it, but you haven't been able to do it. It may be the Lord. It may be the Lord stopping you from doing it because it may not be the right time. You know, it has to be the right time. God has His time. And Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season. There's a time for everything under heaven. And so God has a right time. And sometimes we'll get ahead of God. So we need to pray like Paul prayed for a prosperous journey, but a prosperous journey by the will of God. I'll never forget, years ago, I had the opportunity to interim pastor a church in the south of Ireland. And I had talked to the missionary, and he had asked me if I would come over there. And I told him that I wanted to. I went to visit him. And I just couldn't get peace about the thing. And I talked to my pastor, and it didn't seem right. And the missionary really wanted me to come, but it just didn't seem right. So I didn't go. Well, years later, I had gotten married, and another missionary pastor invited me to come to Newton Abbey, Northern Ireland, to interim pastor his church. And I went. I had the peace of God about it, and I went. And God blessed in a miraculous and wonderful way. We saw God save souls. We saw God do a mighty work. And I'm so glad that I didn't go the first time. Because the first time would not have been a prosperous journey by the will of God. But the second time was. It was the right time. It was God's timing. I get impatient a lot of times because I want to do things that I believe God has called me to do, that He wants me to do, and I just don't seem to be able to make them click and make them work, maybe simply because it's not God's time. And so make sure it's the right time. in the church, we have all kinds of things we want to do. We want to build new buildings. We want to reach out with new ministries. And we should always be trying to move forward, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes, move forward and step out in faith. But make sure that it's by the will of God, because if it's by the will of God, you'll have a prosperous journey. Paul had wanted to come, but he hadn't been able to. So he says in his prayers, he makes requests. If by any means, now at length, it's been a long time, I've been praying for this, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now in verse 11, Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." Spiritual gift is not talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. The next verse gives us insight into this. Verse 12, that is, "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." So Paul wanted to impart to them a spiritual gift, but it was a type of spiritual gift that would comfort both of them together by their mutual faith. And it was a spiritual gift that would establish them in the faith. And what Paul is talking about here is a spiritual gift imparted to them by the teaching of the Word of God. He wanted to establish their faith. Our faith is not established by miraculous signs which pass away. That doesn't establish our faith. Our faith is established by the eternal, unchangeable promises of the Word of God. And that's what Paul wanted to give to these people. He wanted to give them the unchangeable Word of God to establish their faith. And he said, "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." When we preach, we spread faith in the Word of God to the congregation. But the congregation gives us faith as well. We're comforted together, as Paul said. Several years ago, I was preaching up on a mountain in a little church. And I preach there from time to time. A friend of mine pastors the church. So I'm preaching in this church on a Sunday morning. And I preach from Romans 12 on the serving gifts. There was a lady that came up to me after the service, an older lady in the church, and she said, I didn't think that I had a gift, but I see that I have a gift." And another lady came up to her and said, "Yes, your gift is encouragement. You're an encouraging person." And she was just so happy to find out that she had a gift and a way to serve in the church. And my faith was strengthened by that. And so you see, when I preached about the serving gifts, her faith was strengthened. And when she told me that she had discovered she had a gift and the gift of encouragement and that she could serve in the church, then my faith was strengthened. And that's what Paul's talking about here, the mutual faith of both you and me. We're both going to be comforted together by our faith. I give you the Word of God. You give me your reaction to the Word of God. And our faith, both our faiths are strengthened. So that's a wonderful thing about preaching. And that's a privilege that we have when we preach and teach the Word of God. Now, we move on to verse 13. And Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. But the fruit of a Christian is other Christians. Somebody said, an apple tree brings forth apples, and a peach tree brings forth peaches. And a Christian tree brings forth nuts. No, a Christian tree brings forth other Christians, though there are some there are some pretty nutty people in the church. But a Christian tree brings forth other Christians. That's what a Christian's fruit is. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And so Paul wanted to see some fruit among the Romans. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, so he says, "that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, Paul says, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto." And that's what we talked about earlier. Paul wanted to see the Romans. He wanted to come to Rome, but he'd been held up. God had prevented him from being able to travel to Rome. And again, it's just very important that when we venture to do something for God, that we're doing it at the right time, that we're doing it in the will of God. God wants us to step out in faith, but just make sure that you're doing it in the will of God. And God will show you that. God will show you that. Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So Paul says, I'm a debtor to everybody. He says to the Greeks, and the Greeks were those who spoke Greek and followed Greek culture. These were the cultured people. And then the barbarians were those who did not follow Greek culture. But Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. It's an interesting expression, I am a debtor. What did Paul owe? What did he owe these people? I mean, people he'd never met. What did he owe them? What did he owe the Greeks? What did he owe the barbarians? What did he owe the wise? What did he owe the unwise? Well, what Paul owed was he owed the gospel. That's what he means. I'm a debtor means I owe the gospel. He'd been saved. He'd been delivered from his sins. I mean, Paul was a saved, a born-again man, and he had gotten that precious gift of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul felt like he owed that gospel. And, you know, we're all debtors. All of us. If you've been born again, you are a debtor. You owe the gospel to people that have never heard. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 7. The Jewish people were in great trouble. They were starving. There were some lepers. And these lepers discovered a camp. And in that camp, they found food. God provided for them food. And it was more than they needed. And he provided with them supplies. And it was more than they needed. And in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9, this is what they said. Then they said one to another, we do not well this day. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So the lepers said, we do not well if we do not tell. Brother Stennett Ballou preaches a sermon on that. It's a great sermon. If you have a chance to hear it, Stennett Ballou, we do not well if we do not tell. It's a sermon on soul winning, and that's the point here. We're debtors. We're all debtors. We owe the gospel to the world. We owe it to the wise and the unwise. We owe it to the cultured and the uncultured. We owe the gospel to the world. And we do not well if we do not tell. What right have we to hoard the gospel? People are always critical of America and Americans and how Americans have all this wealth and we hoard all our wealth. Actually, America is a very generous country, gives a lot away. But Americans are spoiled. We have a lot more than many other countries in the world. What right have we to hoard everything we have and not to share it? And what right have we to hoard the gospel? The gospel. We as Americans have been blessed with having many churches that preach the gospel. And some of you that are listening to this in other countries where the gospel has been very, very prevalent, you've been very blessed to have heard the gospel. And we do not well if we do not tell. We're debtors. It's our duty to share that message. We owe the gospel. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then in verse 15, Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. As much as in me is. Paul said, with everything I've got, with whatever is in me, I'm going to preach the gospel. Remember in verse 9, he said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. So Paul said, with everything I've got, from my inmost being, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. When God would allow him to have a prosperous journey by the will of God, Paul was ready to go to Rome to preach. Now that brings us to a very important question as we conclude our broadcast today. I wonder if we're ready to go where God sends us. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? If God should call you across the ocean, are you ready to go? Because God may be calling somebody that's listening to this today to be a missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be a foreign missionary. Would you go? Will you go where God sends you? Maybe you need to do something right in the town where you're living or the city where you're living. Perhaps God wants you to serve in your local church and you're not serving. You know, we talked earlier, we were kind of hard on the pastors earlier about being a garbage man and a plumber and mowing the yard and all those kind of things rather than doing the main thing, which is ministering the word and prayer. But what about you as a church member? If you're listening to this and you're a member of a church and your pastor is the trash man and the lawn man and the electrician and the plumber and he's all those things, then why is he doing all that? Why are you not stepping up? Why don't you step up and do something to serve in the church and let your pastor concentrate on the Word of God and prayer? If you're in the ministry today and you're listening to this, will you do what God sends you to do? If God, maybe you're listening to this and God's been encouraging you to step out full time into the ministry and you're still part time, you're working a job and you're doing the ministry. Now the ministry is a job. A lot of people think all a pastor does is sit in an office and be lazy. But first of all, studying is work. Prayer is work. If you've never done it, you don't understand that it's work. Preaching is work. It's hard work. Recording this broadcast is work. And the truth of the matter is that teaching the Word of God is work. Doing the ministry is hard work. But maybe your church is not able to support you full-time, and so you're working a secular job as well. Well, that's fine. But maybe God's working on your heart and telling you, step out full-time into the ministry. And God wants you to do it. And you know that it's God's timing. God's ready for you to do that. Don't be afraid to do that. Step out into the will of God. I have a friend that pastors a church, and he was part-time pastor and worked a full-time secular job for years. And he said finally his health got to the point where the doctor said, you got to choose one or the other. You can either keep working your job or you can do the ministry, but you can't keep doing both. He left his job and stepped out in the ministry. And he said, you know, the money wasn't there financially from the way it looked to man. It wasn't exactly the right time. But he said, God showed me that it was the right time, and I knew it was the right time. And God's been supporting him and taking care of him ever since. You step out and do what God has called you to do. Are we ready? So as much as in me is, Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And as soon as God gave him liberty, he was going to go. In the meantime, he wrote this great letter to the Romans that we're studying. I'm looking forward to the studies that we do. Next week, we're going to look at verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we're going to talk about this great power of God unto salvation, the gospel. And I hope you'll join us next Saturday. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.thenationsforchrist.com podcast. Again, that's thenationsforchrist.com. And when you get to the website, look for podcasts. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Saturday morning.